following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge family, welcome to another Refuge Daily. I'm Pastor Jonathan, and today we're going to continue through the Beatitudes as we're continuing our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So let's pray, and we're going to jump in. Lord, as we enter into this time, we pray that you would be with us all as we are studying your word, as we are meditating on what this verse has to say to us and for us. Please, Lord, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this second beatitude is a little bit of a strange one. I mean, because we tend to think that the Christian life is about being happy. And, oh, how happy, how is it that we can be happy when we mourn? Shouldn't we always be walking around with a big grin on our face? And isn't it God's job to protect us from sorrow? And apparently not. According to this beatitude, sorrow and tears are meant to be a part of the Christian life. Now, what exactly does Jesus mean when he says that those who mourn will be blessed and will be comforted? And in this short study, we're going to take a closer look at that. Okay. Now, there's a few things, obviously, that will make any one of us sad. For me, we've experienced a lot of loss in our family recently, and that brings sadness. When I look around in the world and I see injustice in the world and what's happening all over the place, that brings me sorrow. We're heading into baseball playoff season and my team's still in it. But if they were to lose, that would also make me sad. Obviously not in the same realm. But, on the day that this video is airing as well, it's an anniversary of the death of a loved one in our family. And so we're grieving, we're mourning again, the loss. But the thing is that when we come to sorrow, when we come to grief, we know it's not supposed to be this way. We know that death is not a normal part, or it shouldn't be a normal part of life. Now, everyone obviously dies and we are going to experience death, but we know that it's not the way it's supposed to be. Death is an alien invader into this earth that has come about because of sin. But here, Jesus is giving us a whole new way of looking at things, right? Jesus actually has the guts to say something like, you will be blessed and comforted when you mourn. So to understand the second beatitude, we need to take a look back to the first one. If poor in spirit was talking about a heart condition and not physical poverty, it's safe to assume that Jesus here isn't only talking about physical mourning, just that sorrow when somebody dies or is sick, but instead is talking about mourning in our heart, mourning for something more. Now, there are all kinds of things in this world and in our lives that can cause us to mourn, and really that cause God to mourn. There are things all over, and what it is called is sin. Right? According to this beatitude, when we mourn over our sins and over the sins of the world and of our own lives, God is able to comfort and bless us. Just as being poor in spirit has to do with that attitude of our hearts, so this one here, as it speaks of the mourning that we experience, is about the same thing, that we are mourning the sins that are in our hearts. We can look even into other passages in scripture. In Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, Paul, who's struggling with sin in his own life, listen to what he has to say here. It says, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Now, you can see that Paul is really struggling in this passage just by looking at some of the things that he says. He says, "I want to do good, but whenever I want to do good, evil is present with me." He also mentions he's wanting to wage war, that sin is waging a war against him, that it's making him a prisoner of this. He says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And he even says, I need to be rescued. He sounds like a man who's truly mourning the sin in his life. So when you look at this, you think, might think, why would Paul call himself wretched? I mean, he was an apostle. He was chosen by God. He shared the gospel everywhere. But Paul saw the sinfulness in his own life. He saw his sinful nature still present, even though Christ had died for it. He saw this sin and he knew that he was poor in spirit. He saw it and he's like, what can I do? So Paul is talking about the struggle here between God's law and his sinful nature. It's something that we all can probably relate to. It's something that we all understand. We have a sinful nature and it wages war against us. But in this passage, Paul also recognizes the solution to his struggles, the solution to this pain, and it's Jesus. The solution is found in Jesus Christ alone. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, Paul, writing here to the church in Corinth now, is writing and he talks about the difference between a sorrow and mourning that is godly and a mourning that is from the world. He says this, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So what's the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow? Sorrow from the world is empty. It's grief. It's without hope. It's that sorrow that you have that just you look and you're like, nothing will ever be good again. Godly sorrow, however, is a sadness that we have from our sins that leads us to repent, to change our actions, to change our attitudes. And you know that it's completely possible to ask God for forgiveness without really meaning it, right? We can pray and go, oh, God, forgive me. And that's about it. No, we don't want to be that way. We want sorrow that changes who we are and how we act. Think about the parable of the seeds that the sower's out in the field and throws the seeds. The seeds we know are the word of God. Some falls on the stony ground and on the rock, on the road where the birds come in and devour it. And some falls on the stony ground. Some falls among the thorns and the thistles. And they spring up with great joy, it says. But quickly, the cares of this world will drive them away. And it's interesting to think that it's when we come and we're all joyful about it, is the times that it's actually described as the cares of the world coming in, because we're basing it on emotions and just like, oh, this feels so good. But when we have godly sorrow, that leads us to the repentance that's going to change. And so being sorrowful, to mourn for our wicked ways, our sinful nature, these are things that God honors and blesses. So again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, what are some of those things that we should mourn? We should mourn our sin. We should mourn injustice in the world. We should mourn the evil that we see. Sorrow and mourning have their place in the Christian faith. The book of Psalms served as the prayer and hymn book for Jesus and his disciples. And there are many Psalms, obviously, of celebration, but there are even more of them that are prayers of lament, that are complaints, that are cries for justice. One of the most common refrains that you see in the book of Psalms is the refrain that says, how long, O Lord? How long must we wait? How long will this injustice go on? Ancient worship included much more than just celebratory songs, because blessed are those who mourn. This includes those who are experiencing grief, as well as those who mourn alongside those grieving. We need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of believing that God has called us into this perpetual state of ever-increasing happiness. He's called us to joy, but he's not called us to happiness. Jesus reminds us that he is with us even when we mourn. And honestly, you look around, this is a broken world in which we live. Mourning should not be something that surprises us. Mourning should be a way of life when we see the broken nature of this world. But we don't want to leave it there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 says this, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, according to the Lord's word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, encourage one another with these words." We don't mourn like those who have no hope. When we lose somebody, if they are a believer and we are a believer, we're going to see them again. That's not just an empty cliche thing to say, but it's a truth that we need to hold on to. We will see them again in the resurrection, and we will be with them and be with the Lord forever in heaven. So we should encourage one another with these words. That's it for today. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.